Let me have you guys bow your head and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for that you will open our eyes to let us see the many wonderful ways that you work in our life that we so often miss. And we're so in a hurry. I think we're in danger of missing some of the most rich things, some of the most wonderful things. I pray for just a sweet breath to blow through here and give us an excitement of you and what you're doing. And yes, we're humble and maybe a little scared, but our comfort is in you. So excited to see what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. If we get into your word this morning, may it, I say this that sounds strange, but may it mean something to us this morning. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Need you guys to turn to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to open us up with Acts 17. Jumping ahead just a bit. A statement that Paul made that I want to kind of be the forerunner for the message this morning. Here's what he said in Acts 17, 26. He said that God has made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him. Find Him. Yet He is actually not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. That's powerful. I think I've figured this out. I think I've got it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think I've caught something. You won't hear me brag on myself very much, but at all, okay? But there's one thing that I think I'm getting better at. So maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm maybe hanging out at like a 6. We'll see. Because I think God was gracious enough to show me this truth that I want to try to explain to you guys this morning and then get into Philip's account with the eunuch. I called this sermon transitions. Here's what we do in the Western culture that is, let me put it this way. Have you guys ever been to a water park and been in that lazy river? There we go. Okay. I was reading Ephesians 2, and it said that, you know, children of wrath, following the course pattern of this world. And I've usually thought, you know, that just means doing bad things and sinful things and all this stuff. But what I've watched about us Western people is that we We have these periods in our life that I'm going to call transitions, for lack of a better word, because I was fishing for a term, okay? These are the times that we've just come out of something, or maybe we're in something, and we're planning something in the future, and we're sort of plotting and doing all of this stuff to get to that destination. But here's the funny thing. We might plan all week for a particular event, take this, okay? And not 15 or 20 minutes into it, we're already planning how to get out, okay? So you guys typically sit. Now, I hate to draw your attention to this because you might get a little squirmy. You guys typically sit, and this isn't something we do just because we want to be cruel, in a two-hour worship service. You listen to me preach, and I don't even realize I'm doing it. Like, I don't have a timer up here. But I usually preach for an hour. You're like, oh, boy. But don't worry, I do it every week. And I don't even realize I'm doing it. So when I'm done and I say amen, I look at the clock, and I'm like, I did it again. It was an hour again, and you guys sat through it. So people that are not accustomed to Living Acts will come and, man, this is a long service, you know. So it's funny because the tendency that we have is to cater to that, and I'm not saying that churches that don't have a two-hour service are wrong or anything, but we tend to chisel it down because we know that people are almost always in transition mode. They're always thinking, what's going to happen next? I need to get to that, or whatever. So I think in about 30 minutes or so into any event, you're already planning how to get out of it and what the next event's going to look like. And what I've seen us do, if there's transitions and destinations, what we're doing, and it's getting worse, okay, is we are lengthening our transition times and shortening our destination times to the point that we almost never have a present. We don't even know how to enjoy it. We're too eager to get out of it. Now, don't lie, because I know you do this, okay? But, well, let me show you. Turn to Acts chapter 8, because we learn a lot from what Scripture doesn't say just as much as we do from what it says. But here's what Luke writes about Philip. Verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Now, stop. What was Philip doing when the angel appeared? We don't know. Okay, Luke didn't write about it. That means that if he was doing something, okay, maybe he was resting because he just had a pretty hectic time in Samaria, but he was doing nothing that Luke wanted to write. So maybe he was doing, maybe he was in prayer or whatever, which is really significant, but it doesn't tell us. Now, what I've noticed is that we in the Western world, this is what I don't want you to lie about, is that nothing is the only thing we really get excited about getting to. Okay, I've actually been in places where I knew after it was over, I had nothing to do, and I was in a hurry to get to it. So I was actually getting frustrated, like, you're eating up my nothing time here. I got to hurry up and get home to nothing. Okay, I want to be just sitting on the couch and wasting my time, okay? But here's the fear that I have is that God is, I think, awakening us all to call it the course and pattern of this world, call it whatever it is, but we live in an era where transitions are getting easier and to kind of zone into, and the destinations are getting trivialized, okay? So things are shorter. If you watch TV, they know this. That's why you're not looking at a talking head that much anymore, unless you got one of those weirdo stations like Channel 5000, okay? So everything is catered towards that. They know that you're not going to sit there long, so they got to be quick, and they got to give you what they're going to give you before they lose you. So anyway, what I do often is I watch people. And we're hilarious. We depersonalize anything in that transition period so that it's self-serving. We almost zone out. For instance, let me explain. Today's Sunday. Now, I want you to do this. If you go anywhere, I want you to watch. I'm kind of thankful that people still dress up for church. That way you can kind of spot them and make fun of them. I'm doing this because I make fun of myself too. But when people are in those transition periods, gas station, Blockbuster, CVS, Starbucks. Starbucks is actually a different one, though, because you can actually make that a destination of nothing, which is cool. This isn't a nothing destination. But you'll watch people, and what they'll do is, if they're in transition mode, they've depersonalized everything in that transition mode. Okay? Now, check this out. And what Paul was saying is that God has put people where they are, and he has determined the allotted periods and boundaries to which they are in, so that they may find God, though he's not far from any of us. So that means that the next time you go pay for gas, that person behind the counter is there because God has allotted them to be there. Okay, but for us, Western people, that's a transition period. Okay, now what we'll do in those transition periods, and you can your mind can play out just how many of those there are, those people aren't people anymore. They're just there to get us to our next destination, which we've shortened, okay? So it's strange. We don't even see them as human beings, or we do, but we don't treat it as such, okay? So you'll see almost Christianity turned off or turned low in all of those periods. Now, if you notice, we're living over 50% of our time in those transition periods. Okay? That means that if you waste those transition periods, then you've wasted half your life. Okay? Now, when you leave here, you'll go through little parcels to get to wherever you're going to go, which you'll be in a hurry to get out of. That's why we always get mad at our waiter. Which that infuriates the daylights out of me, okay? That it's sickening. The way I look at it is, if they're late bringing me my meal, then God wanted my meal to be late, and I need to figure out why. All right? If I'm in a hurry to get somewhere and there's a stoplight, I don't get mad at the stoplight. I mean, you'd be red too if you had to change in front of everybody. But when I get to the stoplight, I'm thinking to myself, No, really. I'm thinking to myself, when I get to that stoplight, there's a reason I need to be at the stoplight longer than I would prefer, so that I'm not somewhere else earlier than I need to be. Okay? You optimize those transitions and see that God in all of life is always the I am in any situation. Now, once your eyes are open to this, you will stand out. You'll almost see people. Let's say you're standing behind someone, and this has happened to me so many times. You're standing behind someone in a seemingly endless line that you're just like, oh man, come on. Here's what I want you to think about. You got six people ahead of you, and for some strange reason, the person in the front has got this weird thing called a checkbook, and it, you know, they're doing this, I don't know what that is. But they need to fill out their driver's license, put all that stuff in there, like, come on. God wants you in that line. Find out why. The person standing behind you and in front of you have been appointed to be there. Don't waste it. Okay? Don't waste it. But we're in such a hurry to get to our destination that I'm afraid the destinations that we're supposed to be in are the ones that we call transitions and miss altogether, completely. Okay. Now, we'll spend an enormous amount of time driving, and this is also interesting, okay? There is nothing more depersonalized than driving. So, when you're driving on the road, you don't see people, you see cars, and you don't think there's somebody in that car that's a person, you just see a car. So, you tend to act really depersonalized on the road. Happens all the time. If you're pulling out of somewhere and there's a, or let's say you're the guy in a line, there's somebody coming out and they want in. Okay? What's the last thing you want to do in that situation? Look at them. The minute you look at them, you've just increased the evil of not letting them in. So what do? Okay, what do they know they need to do? Get eye contact. And these texts is great because we're still good about this, but the minute somebody makes eye contact with you, you're like, oh, okay. All right? It creates, all of a sudden, you're close enough to where their windows aren't tinted, and you see a person in there, and then all of a sudden, it is a person. It isn't just a car. You're not all about your destination, and all of a sudden, you create an opportunity where there wouldn't have been one before. Okay? So what I've tried to do, and this is what I've gotten better at and good at, is that I'm trying in every part of my life to see every place where I am as a destination and then maximizing that destination for the glory of God. Okay? You never turn your ear off to what God may tell you in any situation. Let me tell you something that's heartbreaking. You will find that when you maximize these times and these places, you will shock people. I've had people almost start crying just because I spoke to them. All the people around us that are in this lazy river, okay, are people that, for all we know, are going through major, major trials. And we're so in a hurry to get to where we're going to want to leave in a minute that we miss all these opportunities. Now, some of us are pretty good at this. Some of us are pretty good. We'll be pumping our gas and light bulb will go on and we'll think, that person on the other side, God put there for a reason. What if I just said hi? You'll find people shocked. Like, you're doing this in the transition. What are you doing? Don't you know the rules? You know, you're breaking it up here. And they'll feel a little uncomfortable. You're not supposed to talk to me. This is weird. Okay. My Christians will do this. All right. When we get to where we're going to go, then we'll talk then. So guys, we are demonstrating God's lordship in our life by being sensitive to the Holy Spirit to lead us to places and to help us maximize wherever we're going to be at that moment. And you'll find the most incredible things happening in your life when you do this. Okay? All of life can demonstrate the glory and providence of God if our eyes are open to it. Here's what happened to Philip. Now, Philip's the man. Okay? Philip was recouping, let's say. And an angel of the Lord said to him, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Now, it's a desert place. Seemingly meaningless place. Okay? That nothing's happening there. There's no big conference. So the angel tells him, "I want you to go to this seemingly meaningless place that is a transition." And Philip obeyed. So just do me a favor. If an angel ever tells you to do something, please do it. Don't embarrass me. Yeah, they go to my church. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, but what a random command. I want you to go to this place. That's it. What did Philip do? He rose and went. Look what he finds. There was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. Says he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And the Ethiopian, this guy's position was to take care of the treasure of the queen. Candace wasn't her name. Candace was just kind of a category, royalty. And back in that day, the only way you can make it to these high places without being a blood yourself, and you're going to get close to the queen, something's got to go. Well, we don't have to worry about this guy. Okay? So that's what he was. He'd made it that far, but just to reduce the risk, we're going to make sure that nothing can happen. All right? So, in our day, no, we're not eunuchs, but you will find all over you, you will find people who have cut off something precious to get to these high places in life. Okay? Now, here's the trick. He had went to Jerusalem to worship, but do you know that according to Deuteronomy, eunuchs weren't allowed in worship? They were forbidden. They couldn't go. They could go maybe to the court of Gentiles, but that was about it. So let's suppose that this guy had went to Jerusalem to worship, and this never happens, but let's suppose his destination turned him away. And he found that when he got to the place of religious worship, they didn't want anything to do with him. Okay? It's sad, and I'm going to probably never use this word, but I can't think of another word in the dictionary to use, but it's stupid. But our issues aren't with eunuchs, it's with people of a different color. If that still goes on, I'm tempted to smack somebody. Okay? I mean, if God demonstrated anything in this, he demonstrated, I'm for all people of all colors, of all races, and if there's any prejudice or any racism in my people, I will purge it out. Okay? This guy wasn't turned away because he was black. He was turned away because he was mutilated. You just don't let people like that in. So, he goes to this specific place to worship, and on his way back, now imagine what he was feeling. I just went to the place to find God, to search for God, and they turned me away. I wasn't accepted there. Now, here's what's cool. God is so, for lack of a better word, sensitive. And his heart breaks that, let's suppose the guy got there and from his reading of the scriptures, you can tell maybe he wasn't that familiar with them. But on his way back, maybe feeling ostracized or just confused, God picks up on it. The minute he starts his trek back to Gaza, he tells Philip, there's this guy going to be going down this road. I want you to go find him. Okay? Church doesn't pick up on you and you come in here and you get turned away, God will find you. And he will take one of his less stubborn, stuck-up servants who are too good to, you know, not too good to talk to you, and he'll send them. And he can do it anywhere, in any place, at any time. And he told Philip, I want you to go to this place, and there you will find this man. Now, it says that when Philip got there, the Spirit had said to Philip, I want you to go over and join this chariot. Now, the chariot was moving. So when Philip got there, and I know we've done this. You go into a situation, and you're like, I think God wants me to talk to that guy over there. But I'll talk to him if he stops. Okay? It's a little fleece. We do it all the time. If this happens, I'll do it, God. You know? Oh, yeah, they're going toward their car. It must not be God's will. Now, I want you to notice what Philip, my boy Philip, does is Philip sees the chariot moving, and the Spirit says, I want you to go over. Now, the chariot was moving, and commentators say it could have been moving pretty fast. Now, not as fast as we go, but pretty fast. So Philip is, hey, what are you reading? I mean, he was zealous. He was going after the boy. And this, you can only dream of this happening. He's reading Isaiah 53. Now, when does that happen? You know, I'm reading this portion of Scripture, which happens to be the most explicit about Jesus in the Old Testament. And he tells Philip about this text. Well, Philip's got to be drooling. And he sees him doing this and asked him this question. He says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Philip jumped on that. And it all started for Philip with just a question. But I want you to notice, Philip is in a seemingly meaningless place, taken to a destination that is someone else's transition. I mean, all of this seems like someone's governing it, doesn't it? Let's just suppose that someone is. Well, Philip finds himself abandoned to divine providence, which is my dream in life. You want to know what I hope for? Here's what I hope for. I hope to live a life holy and blameless and then find myself lost in God's highway. He can't screw it up. So wherever you put me, that's where I'm going to be, and that's where I want to maximize that time. Okay? Those who cannot live in the present will never be ready for the future. I've talked to people a lot, and they'll say, I've heard this before, they're kind of just wasting, I don't know what they're doing. They're just sort of living, just sucking up air. And they're talking about how when God moves me over to this grandiose place far off that I've never seen and I feel called there, but I'm not doing hardly anything for God where I am, my first question is, why aren't you maximizing the present? God takes people like Philip, people who can maximize those pointless places in life. Those are people primed and pumped and ready for wherever God has for them. And that's what Philip was doing. I mean, he starts with a question. And notice, he doesn't bust into the guy's chariot and start taking him through any kind of set procedure. He just asked him a question. It's just easing into his life. Didn't kick down the door. I want you to try that. I want you to try it. The challenges are coming all throughout this message, but I want you to try it. And then when you do, and I'll tell you what it is, I want, please email me or call me and tell me what happened. Take a meaningless situation this week where someone is close to you and you don't think there can be anything amazing happen here at all, and invade it. I want you to ask a question. Say hi, something, and watch God explode all over that situation. You will find the strangest thing happen. There are people who are in appointed times and set periods, and they're sort of searching for God. And all you're there to do is just point them the way. Lead them to it. Now, granted, there may be some people out there who have just completely turned God off. Totally. Okay? But most people are inwardly asking questions. They're searching. They're looking. And once you speak up, it gives you the wonderful opportunity of just being their guide and showing them where to go. Now, they may not be reading Isaiah 53. If you come across somebody that's doing that, then you've hit the divine lottery, okay? I don't understand Isaiah. You know, I'm reading the Gospel of John. Can somebody help me with the Gospel of John? Yeah. So if that happens, you know, you just, oh, thank you, Jesus. That never happens. But most of the time, it's just a simple, cordial, as Bill Hybels says, you just walk across the room, okay? And that's scary. Many of you get scared doing stuff like that. Just terrified. And I know God told me to do it, but I'm scared. Okay? You just walk across the room. You just ask a question. Just ease in. Show them that you care. Show them that you see that they're a real person. Most people don't think they are. Okay? Most people don't feel like a human being. Now, when you really accelerate in that and that mindset takes over, which is demonic, you end your life. And we all look shocked. Well, I can't believe that happened. But people are just waiting for the Christians in this world to invade And do it in an attitude of just humility. Say, God, I know you put me in this situation. I don't know what to say. Philip just asked a question. Okay? The guy could have said, and I'm sure Philip thought about this, what if he tells me no? What if he tells me, get out of my face, I can read? Then I'll feel rejected and hurt. Okay? But he didn't. And that's what we read about. Okay? We don't read about Philip sitting at home. We read about him going up to a man that probably no one else would have even talked to. And we get this miraculous story. So I want you to try that this week. I want you to do it. And it's never, you'll never waste one. Now you may say something that you probably will leave the situation and say, why did I say that? Or why did I say it like that? Or I could have said, or whatever, okay? But God will so use you. And then I want you to call me and email me and tell me of the coolest thing that happened, okay? I know most of us aren't used to seeing miracles and signs and wonders, but I want to reply, why do we need signs and wonders to float down a lazy river? What do we need it for? I mean, there's nothing, once repentance happens in your life, you feel you're going against the grain. I mean, everybody's in this rat race, and you're in that line where everybody's mad, and you're the only one who isn't. You're the only one who actually finds pleasure in waiting. And if you don't learn how to optimize your waiting, then you will waste so much time enjoying those precious moments. Do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless someone guides me? We invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And here's what he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shears is silent. And so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And one of the most precious things about Jesus, and all roads lead to Jesus, guys. It doesn't matter where you start. Hey, where'd you get those shoes? You're going to get to Jesus somehow. How am I going to get to Jesus? The Spirit will take care of it. You'll get to Jesus. But you know what the coolest thing about Jesus is? He didn't just throw down a book, okay? He came down and lived among us. He invaded our transitions. He stepped into human flesh and came into really our nothingness and spoke truth. He walked among us. He ate with us. He talked to us. And again and again and again, you'll see him coming up to people in really trivial situations like getting water. And all Jesus does, all he does, go up to this lady and ask the question. That's it. But here's where we get to really experience, and I've had this happen many times, and it's sin that doesn't make it catapult toward more, but I've experienced Christ as Savior when he saved me from my sin and turned me away from the worldliness that I was living in and facing him. But I've experienced the Savior aspect of God in many situations because I found myself in situations that I needed one. Okay? The only life that I think we need to be afraid of is the life where we're never afraid. Many of us run from risks. God will speak to you and tell you, you're going to have to put your rep out there if you want to build mine. He will use you. You're going to have to overcome those fears. You're going to have to. Now, there's a chance that suffering comes along with that. There's a chance, all of those things. But greatness doesn't just fall on people. There are people who take risks, who see, yeah, this could maybe mess up my rep. This could tarnish me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to watch God move in it. Christ became incarnated. He lived among us. He spoke among us. And to this eunuch, maybe that meant something really special that day, because just a little while later, it talks about how the promise and the covenant was going to be given to the two eunuchs who normally were separated. And the ends of the earth was even going to be absorbed into God's loving covenant. But he couldn't understand, who was this speaking about? Is this the prophet or himself or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus, the gospel. And I would imagine Philip thinking, a desert place, a eunuch, on an average day, high in the world. All he did was walk. Followed the leading of the Lord. He invaded someone else's whatever, and God used it for him to share the gospel of Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I mentioned this last week, but you'll notice in Acts, they never say, "Well, we've got a baptism service in about 3 weeks. You got anything going on?" They were like, "There's some water in here. You know, is that mud puddle over there? Let's do it right now. Let's go." Well, they maximized the moment. Let's plan toward the transition to baptism day, okay? They didn't do that. I'm going to say we're wrong for doing that, but they maximized it. And what did the man, what happened to him? Well, it says he came up out of the water. He was rejoicing. All because Philip obeyed. And then it says, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I know you want me to say something about that, right? What's up with the little Star Trek episode here? What's going on? Okay. I was reading some commentaries this week. The modern ones are they take it easy. I mean, if you date yourself, you go back, you look at some of the other ones, they just come out and say it. When the dude was Enoch, he just gone, okay? But I love our modern ones because they're like, well, you know, it could mean that. And then it just could mean that he let him out. So I tend to gravitate more toward the obvious, but the dude was gone. Okay? But I want you to watch. I want you to watch what happened with Philip as he left, verse 40. Because this happens to all of us all the time, doesn't it? This happens to me every week. No. Now, Philip found himself at Azotus. So as he was transported, found himself at Azotus. And watch what it says he did. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And when Philip found himself in a place and knew he was going to end up somewhere else, he didn't just say, "When I get to Caesarea, I'll preach the gospel." He preached all the way through. Guys, this seems so simple. I know it does. Trust me, I know. But if you could somehow get a snapshot of all of the time you spent over the last, say, 10 years, you'll be able to agree with me that 99% of that stuff is just mundane, trivial life. All I'm saying to you this morning is don't waste it. Don't waste it. I mean, I'm sure Jesus did many things in his life that we don't know about, and John even tells us he did, but we know about the times he stopped. We know about the times he spoke. We know about the times he maximized his transition into a destination. And I just want to speak on behalf of all those people you're going to meet today. And I'm not trying to make you anxious. Not trying to lay a big old burden on your back. But there will be people that you will meet today who have completely lost hope. And they're just a guy in a grocery store. No one cares about me. They're all over the place. And I would hate for you to leave here arrogant on some kind of mission that you miss the forest for the trees. Those people are all around you. And I love the way that story tells us about eunuchs, or especially this one, because he was royalty. Don't make the mistake, and I don't want this to seem stereotypical, but don't look past the beautiful people. And we kind of read these stories, and we're all the time looking for the one who looks lost. Now, those beautiful people that you see all the time, okay, many times those people are rotting on the inside. And they just work harder on the out to cover it up. They're all over the place. The guy in the really expensive suit, who looks like he's got it all together, maybe owns 3 companies and owns 7 cars. I just want your eyes to be opened to the many periods and boundaries and places as you find yourself in those. And I want you to be sensitive. God can maximize this. And in the process, you'll find a catalog begin to build in your life of all these times that God took a mundane thing and used it. And even if he doesn't, I mean, you're not looking for someone when you buy their coffee at Starbucks to fall on their face and repent and give their life to Jesus, okay? But just that one thing can turn someone's whole day. Just that one thing, that one time, that one moment can give them hope to get up and do it again, okay? And then just to bring it home, and I close with this, but just to bring it home, don't think that you've entered into a place where it doesn't happen either. Okay? This can create the biggest mirage the world's ever seen. Okay? Church people, they can be just as pretentious, covering up their shame and their hurt. Speak. Open your mouth and see what God does with it. And sometimes I will spend a little bit of time before I get out of my car. I have to practice this because it's hard. But sometimes I'll spend a little bit of time in my car before I get out. And it's like a minute. And I'll just say, God, I'm fixing to go into this trivial place. I don't think anything's going to happen, but prove me wrong. May I always listen and look at people. The other day I watched a girl, I was in Burger King, and it's Burger King. Nothing really amazing happens at Burger King. We created drive-thru so we don't have to really talk to people. But I was sitting there, and there was this girl, and she looked like she worked there because she had on the Burger King attire. And her car was parked over there, and all around her car was clothes. I mean, just strode out all over the parking lot. And I was sitting there looking at her, and this is what's cool. It took them longer than it's ever took to make a double cheeseburger. Okay? How long does it take to make a double cheeseburger? But I think God had me sitting at that in that time. Now, if I'd have just done this, I would have been mad. Like, let's go. Let's go. I got somewhere to be. Okay? But he had me sitting there, and this girl's over here, and she looks like she's going to work or leaving work, and she was taking stuff out of her car and was folding it up and sticking it back in her car, almost like she lived there. And I just sat there thinking, where's my cheeseburger? What's this girl doing? Where's my cheeseburger? What's this girl doing? And then slowly, I just got distracted from this, and I was like, what in the world is going on over here? And I was begging God. I was like, God, please tell me what's going on. I mean, she's a girl. I'm a guy. It's nighttime. And if I go over to her, she'll probably freak out. Those kind of things going through your mind. And I just sat there and I was confused. And I just thought, well, I'll go ask her what's going on. And I pulled over. And I got out of the drive-thru, pulled over. And I would have had to go against traffic to talk to her. But I had to go against the thing. Anyway, and I sat over there and looking at her, and I thought about it again. I was like, I probably shouldn't go over there. I'd probably freak her out. I just think I'm a rapist or something. And I just thought, no, I'm not going to go over there. And I just kept looking at her, and God just kept putting her on my heart. And I went over, and I just drove past her, and I rolled down my window. And I said, are you okay? Is everything okay? And she said, yeah. She said, I just got all this stuff in my car. And I was like, oh, come on, God. Where's Isaiah 53, you know? I was like, I said, another question. I was like, this is an Acts 8, you know. Come in my car. Anyway, I wouldn't have gotten her car. But so I asked her another question. I said, are you sure you're okay? And she said, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay. And I just sat there going, man. I said, okay. And I drove off. Now, you were hoping for a better ending, right? Letter to Christ. And there she is. No. You're hoping for a better ending. Okay. But those times have happened more often than not. And I left thinking that was such a waste of time. Nothing happened. I was wrong. I was wanting some kind of miracle to take place, and nothing happened. But I left feeling better than I did when I was just staring at her. Maybe God just wanted me there to say something. Nothing great happened, but I just was sensitive to what could happen. And there have been times where people have opened up to me and talked to me. And Lacey knows this a lot. We have had more amazing conversations with our waiters and waitresses than I can tell you. They're not just there to get you your food, guys. God handpicked your waiter. Talk to them. You'd be surprised what God can do in those situations. Let's pray. The Heavenly Father, I leave this message open on purpose. We just really do not know, and we do not know what you're going to do from day to day. We just don't. But we do know that there are many, many people out there that are hurting and that need you. They need to hear your gospel and they need to see it incarnated in the lives of your people. People who are bold enough and courageous enough to step out of their little peaceful world and invade someone else's, just like you did for us. Who take it upon themselves to take upon someone else's suffering that they may have hope. Just like you did for us. Share life with someone who is thinking about maybe giving theirs up or questioning theirs. God, I thank you that you have given us charges to live right, fight temptation, to study and to love and be holy people. But God, I want us, help us to not just focus on that inward aspect of the Christian faith, but seeing ourselves completely lost in a fun way in your meticulously ordered world. where you have and do work all things for your glory. And you give us the privilege, the unique privilege, to be instruments to that end. And it starts with us being awakened to the reality of all of that out there. And to catch ourselves dozing off and remembering the mission of your great worth. Living lives that sometimes involve us to take risks, no matter how trivial they may seem. Step out of our little patterns that we're in and get into yours. Father, I pray for everyone in this room that you will show them this week. Little steps that you can do amazing things with if we're just sensitive to it. God, help us to be people who listen always in all places for our orders from our King and to rise and go, to move. We have such confidence in you, Jesus, because the Scriptures tell us you are living out through us, and you're showing us how to be in all these instances. Just don't let us waste life. Just don't let us waste it. We love you, God, so much. We feel so feeble. You even show us how to be your instrument. I feel like we don't even know how to do that. Take us as your babies and your children and just show us. Remind us you're always with us. You are the I Am. You are the ever-present. Help us live in the present for your glory. We love you, Jesus. You know.